Here's the good stuff from Kennedy Malloy. Don't miss the great offers on a great range of vehicles during Toyotathon. See your local Toyota dealer today or search Toyota Value. Buckle up, Australia. Here they come. Straight from a very long lunch. And frankly, this could go anywhere. This is Kennedy Malloy.
Jane, you know what day it is.
It's hump day.
It's the hump day edition.
It's the first time I've said that out loud.
And don't make a habit of it, okay?
Oh, I might. Just do that.
Hump day's my thing.
Don't tell me what to do.
Here we go.
That was a Pauline impression.
Oh,
that starts early.
Oh, crikey. We'll be talking about her at some stage,
I'm guessing. We might have to.
All right. Yes, it's the Wednesday edition of Kennedy Malloy. It's chock-a-block. And, well, Paul McCartney's dropped a bombshell.
Well, he's dropped something.
He's dropped a bombshell.
And we'll
address it.
All right.
In as classy a way as we can. Are you going to...
I'm going to leave the room.
All right.
Because I don't want the image of what we're going to talk about sully my love and admiration for Paul McCartney.
I'll stay. Yeah.
Do you know what we're talking about?
I believe I do.
All right. Hang about.
Hey, I've got an education update because there's three stories going around today. No, trust me, it's not.
That's easy compared to what Paul McCartney's made up to.
Oh, well, could be linked.
So there is a bit of fun to be had there.
There is a bit of fun to be had today, and there's a young girl in this country who's taken a stand, and I'm going to address that.
Take a stand. Hasn't gone down that well. I have to say, male bonding.
Male bonding.
It'll come up. Yeah. It'll come up.
Stand
we'll
by
take
and listen to that.
You will be
Now, I'm seeing the word bionic penis.
Oh.
It's a classic, show today because a man has been given a bionic penis.
Oh.
Right. And it's...
most men claim they've got a bionic penis already.
It's in commission. We'll put it up on blocks.
I'll tell you who else I see. Lawrence Mooney.
Lawrence Mooney will be on, which means Matthias Cormann will be on.
Oh, good.
Hey, I'm really... he's back, yes. But I believe Lawrence wants to talk cults today, which I...
Oh, I'm into that.
You know, I'm very keen.
That sounds great.
I honestly am thinking of starting.
All right, now there's
cult.
A story about our mate Shane Jacobson and his agent and about her not being invited to a wedding.
You're not going there, are you?
No, there's wedding etiquette involved, I thought. Mm. We're not going to talk about Shane. We're going to talk about what is involved when you're inviting people to a wedding because it can cause big dramas, as it has here for Shane.
You buried the lead, Jane. Guess who's on today's show?
Craig Lowndes.
Yes. Aussie champion. Legend.
He's Triple M royalty.
Oh, he is Triple M royalty. It's been a great career. We'll talk to him about all the
highs
and lows.
Wow, that's a big show.
Yeah.
It is indeed. We'll take your calls. We'll take your tweets. We'll even have a flip through the papers.
We'll have a look.
See what we can find.
Okay.
So
all right. Well, actually, it's quite a significant date today in the US.
Oh, yes, it is. So, you know, I watch a lot of the American TV during the day, the news. I follow it. And it is a significant 9/11, very significant day. Obviously, I think, what are we, 17 years down the track now?
I know it's 17 because I had a baby on my lap when I was watching.
Oh, no kidding.
One of yours, was it? Or the start of things to come?
It actually happened to be one of mine, yes, when watching in disbelief.
Okay, I remember. Do you remember where you were, Dave?
I do, I was working in radio at the time, and it still shocks me today to see those pictures. Mm. Still gives me the chills.
Well, I remember where I was. I was actually around at Tony Martin's house. Yeah. We were working together on something at the time, and I called a cab. It must have been about 11 or closer to 12 or something like that. And I got in the cab to go home. And I remember in the cab, as the cab was driving along, I was listening to the news, and I had to ask the cab driver, I said, mate, did I just hear right? Did you say someone's flown a plane into the World Trade Center? He's going, oh, yeah, mate, yeah, and this has been raging on. So when I got home, I went straight inside and turned the telly on just in time to see a replay. But then I realised it wasn't a replay because there was a building behind it already alight. And I'd actually walked in live and seen
the second
plane go into the second tower.
That was the mind-blowing moment as well, apart from the first time it happened.
Well, obviously, so begins a sit-in in front of the TV for about 3 or 4 days where you learn there's one that...
Washington.
On the way to Pentagon. Yep. All right. So, incredible day, and it's good to see that the American president could find one tweet today, one little tweet.
Oh, was that it?
Have you been to Ground Zero?
What happened? I have, but to be honest, I haven't done the whole thing. I just went and had a look at the place, which is pretty spooky. And
it's pretty amazing.
It's a large spot. Anyway, hey, listen.
Yeah, what?
Anyway, enough of that. Yeah. Let's get back to you. Dropped a bombshell, speaking of bombshells, on this show yesterday. Dave?
Yeah, have a listen.
When I was growing up, Dubbo meant something else to me as a kid because I was a philatelist. And the Seven Seas Stamp Company was in Dubbo.
Absolutely it was. It's very, very famous.
Boom! Wow. See? It was the philatelist capital of Australia.
I don't think you can say philatelist on radio. I really don't.
Yeah, I think it's banned.
When you said I'm a philatelist, I go, jeez.
You
don't know who you're working with half the time, do you?
But you're saying that like you're mocking me.
Well, I am mocking you.
Excuse me.
You're already on record as being a giant nerd.
Mm. And proud of it.
Nerdy tendencies.
I don't even care.
But you've taken it to a new limit here. As
why?
As an avid stamp collector, yes, is what we're talking about.
That's all right. That's what I said. What else did you do in the old days when you didn't have Game Boy or you didn't have?
Well, don't ask Paul McCartney.
Now we'll get to that.
So, what you used to go down the road and collect your stamps?
Yes, they used to get mailed out. I'll tell you what. Do you know what Magyar Post is? What country is that?
No.
Oh, all the stamp people in Australia will be just having a silent chuckle right now.
They'll be chuckling along with their bifocals bouncing up and down on their...
Magyar is Hungary Post.
Oh, thank you, Jane.
And,
that's wonderful.
Magyar was the biggest stamps, the most colourful ones.
Are they the ones you went for? Worth nothing.
Worth nothing, but they're the most beautiful. They're over the top.
Right.
If you've got some of those in your album...
The best stamp story I ever heard, tell me if this is apocryphal, but there was like two stamps that were the... rarest in the world. This guy, like a Russian collector or something, had one of them and he bought the other one for like about $20 million or whatever and then tore it in half.
What? Why?
Because he now had the only one.
Oh, that's amazing.
Does that work?
That does because work.
I remember that story going around and thinking, oh.
I've still got the album. Oh, well.
Have you got the album?
It is my album, but someone else who lives at my house, who may have been a stamp collector too in his youth, claims it's his album.
Oh, my God.
And I'm saying it's mine.
Is this the adult in your family?
Is this Rob Sitch?
Yes.
What?
Well, okay. There's a profile building
also
on this bloke.
A philatelist. Hey, that's what we had in common.
You've had a little more there. Hey, I must come round for a big, big night round at the Kennedys.
Look out, bring out the albums.
Look out, the albums are out. It's like keys in a bowl round
No, I won't have you mock me.
Rob Sitch, who's now, he collects stamps and listens to Smooth FM. Yep. Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're...
It's a Handy's man card back in.
Now, no, I won't have you mock me, and I know there's many other stamp
collectors.
Well,
what do you mean you're fighting
the
over the album?
Because he says it's his, and I say it's mine, because I know it's mine.
All right.
I've also got a lot of old Australian stamps, and there's some that are worth a lot of money, probably.
Really? Can we put this, get some counselling or something?
We'll find out soon.
Wow, this is unbelievable.
Well, why don't they do more stamp collecting in life?
Do you collect the series, like, you know, Aussie Cricketers?
No, I don't go down that path.
Have you ever been
anymore.
On a stamp?
The castle's been on a stamp, but I haven't been on a stamp myself. But, you know, I've known people on... Ray Martin's been on a stamp. That seems a bit extraordinary to me. So is Kerri-Anne Kennelly.
Jeez.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to do an education update next.
Mate, I'm...
And no. Stop looking at me like that. if more kids collected stamps and get off their games on the computers...
Get off your iPods.
Get off your iPods and collect stamps. We wouldn't have as much trouble
in the
world.
Nobody mails things anymore, though. You don't put stamps.
It's actually redundant. They're not even functional.
They are functional.
Who uses stamps?
Well, come on. I'm going to get the CEO of Australia Post on. She'll support me.
I suppose you would have started your collection when all the hate mail arrived.
Oh, how dare you. Go to a song, Dave.
All right. We are coming back with Jane's education.
Permanent record, dude.
Thanks to the Toyota-thon. It's on right now. Search Toyota Value.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Kennedy Malloy.
And time for Kennedy Malloy's... education update.
Wow. Right.
Well, there's a bit of
education
news.
Education report.
Education report. How do you like that? Triple M.
Here we go.
A 9-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Has been given detention for refusing to stand up and sing Australia's national anthem.
Where's this?
In Brisbane.
In Brizzy.
Yep. The Kenmore South State School student.
Right.
And her name is Harper Nielsen. She's 9. And she says she didn't want to stand up because she... said it means advance the white people, she said. And she says it she doesn't think it's fair to Indigenous because it's not inclusive to Indigenous people. And that's why she's making a bit of a point. And the school said, we have to stand up. She said, I don't want to. And they asked her to leave the hall. And she said, no, I don't want to do that either. So it's very unusual situation. It hasn't happened a lot before, I don't think. And so she did it off her own bat.
Yeah.
Pauline Hanson's.
She?
Well, apart from Pauline. Okay. I'll tell you, you'll be surprised to know Ellen Jones has commented.
At age nine, I was shoplifting from brushes.
Okay.
So just to give you a sense of how smart and, and ahead of the curve this young girl is and what she's thinking about and I was thinking about.
Yeah.
But go for it.
Well, she's nine and it's her own opinion. And I'm sure everybody's got the right to do what they want to do.
Well, I just would have thought, before we deal with anything else, that's a pretty strong, free-thinking nine-year-old
girl. It's a pretty gutsy thing to do.
Yeah. And you would have thought that would be a great opportunity for a school and a kid to have a great dialogue and conversation and open the door and chat it out. I would have thought that's a win-win, wouldn't it?
I would have thought it was too. Surprisingly, Alan Jones doesn't think so, either does Mark Latham. And someone else who doesn't think so is Pauline Hanson.
Okay.
And let's just hear what Pauline has to say.
Well, this morning I put up a post about a nine-year-old who won't stand for the national anthem. Well, the school is saying, okay, well, you don't have to be there. You can leave the hall. But no, she's determined to actually stay there because she wants to make a point. You know, I've been fighting for 22 years for equality for everyone, to be inclusive. Here we have a division that's happening. Here we have a kid is being brainwashed. And I tell you what, I'd give her a kick up the backside.
Well, that is Pauline Hanson suggesting a nine-year-old girl needs a kick. Well, that's just awesome, isn't it?
The nine-year-old's clearly smarter than Pauline Hanson.
She's making her point, and I think in 2018...
You think of Pauline Hanson, I reject the idea that she's been in fighting to include everyone.
I reject that idea.
I would have thought
was
quite...
I think she's made a mantra of it. I think she's made it a policy almost.
Whatever happened to being swamped by the Asian hordes? Remember, that was the first one? That was the...
Well, there's a lot of people swamping her at the moment.
I would be proud if I had a nine-year-old girl and she was smart enough and independent enough, you know, and have the conversation and feels enough already about what's going on.
Perhaps the school may have handled it a different way and she didn't have to be kicked out of the school hall. They could have just said... Why not just let her be? Yeah. Do what she wants.
I'm not going to have that problem with my boys. They're six and the only thing they're interested in is pulling my finger. Honestly.
I don't think we have
any political activists in the family as yet.
I think you're safe. Yeah. I think you're safe there. All right, my next education story.
All right, where are you going now? You've started with a cracker.
Yeah, this is doing the rounds at the moment around Australia. It's on Facebook and you might want to look it up. It's called Subtle Private School Traits.
And what is that? What's that about? What is it?
It's a post about you know you're a private school student when.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And this will be relevant to every private school around the country.
Around the country.
Would you like to hear some of these suggestions when you know you're a private school kid?
Joan.
Being extra nice to your friends with boats in preparation for summer.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
Hiding in your room while the cleaners are over so you don't have to talk to them.
Okay. Yes, we've had a show of hands here.
We had a
office.
Show of hands
here. We got a couple.
Only using your tennis court for hosting parties.
Oh.
Wearing the Qantas business class pajamas as your actual pajamas.
Yeah.
This one kills me. Oh, dear. Because I'll tell you in a minute. Having fresh punnets of raspberries in your fridge, even in the off season. I don't think my children have ever eaten raspberries. They're always about $12 a punnet when I go past. Having CCTV surrounding the outside of your house. Needing a Wi-Fi booster.
Are you thinking of all your friends at the moment
who have all this? I'm thinking, needing a Wi-Fi booster for your room because it's on the other side of the house.
Oh, too big.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay, I'm still going. Moving out into your parents' investment property. Getting Uber Eats delivered to school.
Oh, no.
Has somebody done that?
Has
that happened?
Drive past private schools in Melbourne, Sydney, Brisbane, out the front gates at lunchtime, calling your parents by their first name.
Yeah, that's good.
Listening to Sticky Fingers once and thinking you're instantly indie.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my Funny. God.
Automatically assuming all boarders live on a farm.
Yes.
I'll just do a couple more.
A couple more. I'm enjoying these.
All right. Your mate having a fit mum.
Oh, hello.
That'd be the active wear look.
Active wear.
I'm buying you a Mercedes because it's the safer car, says the dad.
I like it.
and not being able to do Hairspray as a school musical because everyone's white. There you go. Look, there's some more.
You might have some more.
You might have some more. Yes. You know you go to a private school when into school snow sports. That's just been on.
I'm thinking of all my friends.
I'm seeing it all over Instagram too. It's pretty funny.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Hey, when we get back.
Is this where I leave this year?
You can go make yourself a cup of love.
I shall. I'll be off then.
Grown-ups talk next.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
We were talking about, you know, we're a private school student when?
Yeah.
And
when?
It's when you get Uber Eats delivered to your school.
Oh, that was mentioned, wasn't it?
Yes, it was mentioned. And we've actually got Chris on the line. Hi, Chris. You're an Uber driver.
Yeah, g'day, Jane. Yes, I am. I'm an Uber driver. I do Uber Eats. And yes, the private schools do Uber Eats.
Where are you a driver, Chris?
I'm up in Brisbane, Brisbane Grammar Girls. I've done a few. The best one was Kedron. They actually got the wrong order. She hopped in the car and made me take her back to the restaurant.
Oh, wow.
Mate, oh
when I was at school, kid you not, it was just a big day if you had a lunch order.
Yeah, correct.
A milkshake. Lunch order day. And you got a pink donut or something. Yeah, hey, thanks for the call, Chris.
Uber Eats. Hey, we can't put this off any longer. Time for a new segment.
Absolutely outrageous.
Kennedy Malloy's.
Who do they think they are?
Celebrities behaving badly.
Wow.
I was going to leave the studio, but I've decided to hang in there.
I mean, you may as well see what it's all about.
Yeah, I may as well.
Put up your hand if you want to ask any questions.
Okay. All right.
Okay, so listen, the Beatles, they're legendary. They've done it all.
Yep.
They're probably the biggest band the world has ever seen.
Yep.
Paul McCartney, of course, the biggest living Beatle.
Mm.
He's around. He's done a new... a candid interview with GQ. And you know what I reckon the editor of GQ has said to the journalist?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we've interviewed this guy a lot.
We know everything about him.
We know everything about him. See if you can't get something.
Got to be another angle.
Something. See if you can't get something fresh. Something we...
All right. So he has a good thing.
We haven't heard before. Something we may not know about.
Okay.
And the journalist's gone, good-o, leave it with me. So in a new and bracingly candid interview with GQ, the singer, Paul McCartney, and bassist behind some of the biggest hits of all time, admitted that, at least once, he and the boys gathered around to turn off the lights for a bit of a group wank.
Oh.
What?
I think is the best way I can...
What do you mean? They turn off the lights and they... What?
Nah.
Well...
The Beatles?
The Beatles.
John and Paul.
If they had a bit of
Ringo.
Spare time,
Ringo,
and say
George.
Say in the studio and they're knocking out a couple of tracks. And you go,
then
you go tools down, tools up.
Okay.
And they've got together and they've sat around in the dark and had a, got a, with a,
is this something, is this something boys do?
Personally, I reckon it was just a plot to get rid of Yoko. Spent a bit of time with
hang
that
on,
Yoko.
Hang
hey,
on.
Yoko, we're having a group wank.
Okay.
Sorry, Yoko, I'm going to have to, ask you to leave.
Dave, are you telling me this is a thing that when men get together and they want a male bond, they all sit around, they go,
hey, me and Dave do it.
Strides down.
Me and Dave do it during songs sometimes.
That's right.
You better not.
Powder finger.
We don't even turn the lights
on. Powder finger.
Hey,
you better not.
If this is what the Beatles were doing, imagine what the Rolling Stones were up to.
I don't believe
that album Sticky Fingers in a whole new light.
Come
on. Hey, guys, don't go in that studio. Hey, guys, don't go in that studio. Cream are putting down a new album.
No. That's terrible.
Well, that is.
What?
What goes
on? Listen. I've just got the story.
Everything I look at now makes me look at the Beatles in a different way.
Yeah.
You know that Abbey Road cover? Off for a group wink.
Walking across the thing.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, the White Album.
Mick Malloy.
What?
Come on, you're going to get into the
trouble.
No,
red card.
It's all a bit of fun as long as one's going to go. In fact, there are a few Beatles songs I have to say to you that I won't be able to listen to in quite the same way again.
Like what? Come together. Well, I think we know now.
Do you promise not to tell? Whoa, whoa.
closer. I want to hold your hand.
Yes.
Here we go.
I want to hold your hand. No, thanks.
I don't know why. It seems sus. Isn't it
good? No.
What? All right.
It's giving me a whole
There
new...
it is. There Look. It is. I'm sorry you had to hear that, Jane, but that's just part of it. Hey, this is, give us a call.
Oh, you mean, how do you mail bond?
What? Look at you trying to get it back on track.
I am trying to get this back on track. Well, don't ring up because I'm not going to talk to you if
No, what we're saying is surely there are more healthier ways for men to male bond. Because that's what this is. It's a bonding exercise.
Oh, good times.
For the lads.
Yeah, a bit of harmless,
it's a bit
wanky
harmless.
Fun.
But there are better ways. This would be a good topic. How do you
bond?
Why
don't they go fish? What about that?
Going fishing.
Go to a band.
Great. There you go.
Go to the motor
golf,
races.
Bit of golf.
Bit of golf.
Golf is good.
Okay.
Dave, what do you do?
You go to the footy with your mates.
Go to the footy. That's there you go. What do you do, Mick?
I'd hang out with the Bulldogs, get my kid on. Okay. Man Monday, that's a bonding.
Oh, my God.
Mate, the Beatles have got the Bulldogs covered. Hey, give us a call. Male bonding. And sorry I had to break that to you.
Yeah, yeah. Norwegian Wood was my favourite, by the way.
I'm very upset.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
We had the lights down during the song, so...
We did not.
We did not.
Cigarette.
Now, it's exhausting.
Really, you should maybe go and do some philateling, which I believe is what,
that's
what
legal.
The Beatles were doing.
I think
are you okay with
way.
This? You weren't entirely on board.
No, I've thought of some other songs.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
You're back.
8 days a week. Hold me, love me, hold me.
That's dedicated to 14-year-old boys all around
there
the country
you go,
as we
it
speak.
Is too.
Another
one?
Yeah.
Little help from my friend.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
There's Paul, Ringo, George, and John.
And John.
All helping each other out.
No Yoko.
No
Yoko.
No, that is just insane.
If that's the Beatles, what the village people would do.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
All
bonding
right.
sessions.
Hey,
surely.
We were talking about
else.
Bonding sessions. There's got to be something healthier than that, wouldn't you suggest, than
I think so.
Sitting around?
Oh, come on, Fred. Help us out.
Fred, what do you do when you want to let off a little bit of steam with the lads?
No, we're a group of 10 guys. We play card. You watch the footy. We've been doing this for the last, say, 20 years, the same 10 guys.
That's nice. Awesome, that Fred. Cool. What cards do you play, is it?
Strip just poker. Just some fun poker. It's not, it's about $20 each, so it's not too expensive because if it's $20, it's still fun.
Yeah, it's still fun.
People take you serious. You
know? No one gets hurt.
Yeah. That's awesome. Love hearing that.
Did you at least have, hey, Fred, do you at least have the nude girls on the back of the cards?
That's a bucks night.
Well, that's male bonding, a bucks night. But no one does that on a bucks night, do they?
No. You'd hope not. I don't know. I haven't been to a bucks night, so I wouldn't know. Mm. Hey, Riley, what do you got? What do you do with your mates to bond?
Mates and I go rock climbing.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Right.
Where do you go? Where do you go?
In the city.
Oh, you actually go to the venues to rock climb.
Not to a proper
You might actually want to get out to... The bush one day, right?
Yeah.
James,
crack yourself up there.
Have you ever climbed a real rock?
Hey, look, my 12-year-old boys can sort of give you some tips there, Riley.
Oh, cool.
I go to the indoor rock climbing centre.
And you've just had a crack
How
at the
hard
guy.
Could that be?
Riley, give Riley a prize.
Yeah, sure, you got a Kennedy Malloy prize.
Kennedy's. So I apologise for Jane Kennedy.
Really unprofessional,
she's just
to be honest.
Let herself go. What about those drum groups? Anyone ever been involved in the drum groups?
Oh, the man.
That's
sort of
a man thing where you all get together and you beat some drums and you.
We've only done a comedy sketch about it, frankly.
Oh, we did for a while ago. Hey, it's all good. Hey, guess what? We're going to clear the decks right now because we've got a very big guest.
Oh, all right, yes.
Coming up.
Yeah,
next.
Let's get rid of all the evidence quickly.
We'll ask him what he does for a bit of group bonding.
Well, I don't.
What are the boys? What
do
the VA boys
at Bathurst?
What do they do at Bathurst?
And they're waiting.
The great Craig Lowndes to join us next.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
In 1994, as a rookie, Craig Lowndes took it up to John Bow at Bathurst, giving us all a sneak peek at the legend he would become.
And he's got it!
He's put one on him up the hill. I didn't think it was possible.
This kid is dynamite.
The first driver to reach 100 supercar race wins. And he's six times been King of the Mountain. But none more special than 2006, honouring his mentor, Peter Perfect.
Lowndes has done it on the day he farewelled his friend, Peter Brock.
After 21 seasons, this will be Lowndes' last as a full-time supercar driver.
We want to finish on a high. We've had a fantastic year to date. This won't be the last time you see this smiling face through pit lane.
But it's very good to know that he's got a solid career to fall back on as a teller of dad jokes.
Why do chicken coops only have two doors? Because otherwise they'd be called chicken sedans.
Please welcome Craig Lowndes.
Oh, a bit of car-related gear there. Oh, it'll be a seamless transition into the world of stand-up. How are you, mate?
I'm good. Thank you for having
good
me on.
To see Great you. To see welcome. You, Lowndesy. Yeah.
22 years.
Yes.
I mean, that's a fair innings in motorsport, would
it
you
is,
say?
Yeah. I started when I was five, so I'm now, 27. So it's great. it's awesome.
Well, I didn't actually blink then when you said five because I thought, what? Did you actually go into go-karts first?
I did in go-karts when I was eight, nine.
Well, see, you're not too far off, yeah.
And then, went through it. But, yeah, 22 years at this level has been fantastic. You know, everyone talks about a career of having longevity, and you never know when you first start. But, of course, you know, now I can sit back and say that I have.
It's going to be unusual to not see you going around in the VH. We go back. We have a personal history. We go back a fair way.
And tell me about that. How do you know? Where do you go back with this young man?
In 1999, I had an ill-fated TV show. One of three I've had at Channel 9. You're lucky to get on it. You're lucky to get on it. It only lasted eight episodes. But I did a hot lap with Craig out at Calder Park. Calder Park. Mm. It was fantastic. Anyway, the next day, Craig went out, drove, and came an absolute gutser. I think he rolled it about eight times, and he broke your leg. And it turned out I was the last person in the car before that happened.
What did you do? What did you do to that car?
I may have left something under one of the pedals. I thought I had everything. But I did, and that's how long ago. Yeah. And I think you were like not a green kid, but like compared to where we are now, both a fair way down the track. So, congratulations to you. What we mentioned 2006, which is obviously a standout memory for you. All six Bathursts, which are amazing. What will you remember? What will you take away at the end of the day? What are the fondest memories you'll have?
Look, I think for me, through the sport, has been able to travel around the world. We've been to Texas, the Middle East, Bahrain, everywhere. So for me, that's been one of the highlights is seeing the world through our sport. But also, like as you mentioned, like Brock, having the 06 victory is what he did and the way he represented the fans and giving back. And basically, you know, for me, it's been
which
has been a great. And like, you know, this since the announcement at Townsville, it's been incredible, the support. The people come in and we joke about it, but it shouldn't be a joke all matter, but Shane Van Gisbergen's now calling it the funeral tour.
Oh. Instead of the farewell.
So the farewell, Kiwis always do a little bit of a slang.
Yeah, they're a bit dry. Yeah.
So, but the people have been really embracive and, you know, they come along. The funny thing is they think I'm not going to be around next year. So they bring their whole catalogue of cars and memorabilia. From his sign. It's like, now I need it signed now.
But that's something that I've always loved. I grew up in a motor racing family and spent time at Bathurst and Calder.
We should just point this out. She wasn't actually a grid girl, but she did attend on course dressed as a giant banana once. That was true.
As far as I got. It's very sad and yet true, Lowndesy. But I love motor fans and how passionate they are because when I was growing up, my father had a relationship to do with Alan Moffat. And so Peter Brock was the enemy and it really gets, you know, pretty fierce, doesn't it? And I guess that's something you're going to miss, that aspect of things.
You go to Bathurst and we'll still co-drive for either Jamie or Shane in the next couple of years. But, they're very passionate. But you see like four generations of families camping in the same spot where the little picket fence.
If I ever got a Holden, I'd be murdered.
It's one of the fiercest sporting rivalries in the world. You started at Holden, you're ending at Holden. You had a flirtation with
Ford
there. He just wanted to see what was going on over the other side.
The grass was never greener over there.
Okay.
Now, well, you miss the people. I reckon you'll miss everyone except for maybe Dave Reynolds. He's just a giant dick. I mean, we've had him on here a couple of times.
Oh, well, he's funny. He's more funny when he's not trying to be funny.
Yeah.
When he's throwing pot plants off podiums or trying to do a shoey.
Now, a life outside of motor racing, you've got a couple of kids.
Yes.
Of course, you're married to lovely Lara. We have lots of things like, the guys were hanging on me for being a philatelist. Mm. But I see that you enjoy...
Stamp collector.
Thanks for that. Yeah.
Your interests include doing jigsaws, playing chess and backgammon. Yes. See, I told you, Mick, nerds are cool. And now I find this, did you do this a lot when you're travelling on the road? And this when you pick some of these activities up?
I actually played chess and card games and everything growing up. That's how I'd learn how to gamble. But no, it's one of the things that you just try to stimulate your brain on strategies and everything else. So chess is one of those things that you sort of, you got to keep trying to, you know, two or three steps in front.
Well, it's like plotting a race as well, you know. It's I know what I'm talking about with chess as well.
We've got to let you go. Just a couple of quick ones before we do. A huge furore about the motorised scooters. Should the speed limit be dropped from 10Ks to 6Ks? And should they be registered? Discuss.
No, I can't see the problem in 10Ks.
Can't see the problem? And what about you? What are you going to be driving in your... what are you going to be driving now that you're just a normal civilian and like the rest of us? What's going to be the car of choice for you?
Well, actually, when we get back home, we leave it late next week to actually do our trip down to Bathurst with Lara, and we actually drive a Holden Colorado. That's what our daily car.
That's pretty Aussie.
Yeah.
I like the sound of...
I've got a Hyundai Getz if you want to borrow that Lounge. You're more than welcome.
Fit in the back.
All right, let's sort this out downstairs. Yep. Mate, I just wanted to say congratulations on what is a stellar career. Mm. You are an iconic Australian sportsman.
Sure.
You've been absolutely a wonderful servant for your sport.
Thank you.
And you should be very proud of everything you've achieved.
And we're proud of you. Mm. And we'll miss you on the main circuit, but we'll
spend more time with you guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Come on in.
Yeah, that's all. I can do that.
Jane will
bring your stamps in.
And I'll wear my banana costume.
And good luck to Auto Barn Racing. We are currently fourth.
Yes.
Is that right? And Dave Reynolds is fifth. This has got you watch him sneak
there
up.
Oh, look, he always sneaks in behind everyone.
Hey, mate, great stuff, Craig.
Thank you.
And well done.
Cheers, thank you.
You can watch Sandown live on Fox Sports Network 10. Head to supercars.com.au for more info.
Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy.
How good was Craig Lowndes, by the way? If you missed Craig, grab the podcast, kennedymalloy.com.au.
Yes, a sad to see him go, but that's racing.
He's been a
legend.
Ornament to the game.
Mate, you wait.
He won't be able to stand. He'll get FOMO.
He'll be
right.
A crap driver within two years.
He'll be
driving along with his ride indicator on, not obeying the road rules. Oh. Yeah, no.
Hey, look, we've got the first day. We've got a campaign. We do these photographs and things for our billboards, and we do a campaign.
Yeah.
And the first day of our newspaper ads went today.
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't read the paper. Is it in here?
You haven't read the paper?
I haven't read the paper, no.
Okay, you have a look for it. Dave, did you see it? Have
I read the paper? Yeah.
Did you see it?
The ad.
Did you see our ad?
So what's our ad? Which one
going.
Is it?
No, I didn't see it.
It's when we are doing the rumours. No, keep going. Keep going. No. Actually, just no. Go up to the form guide.
Hang on a second.
Keep going.
How many pages?
Mine's had eight ads so far.
Okay.
Keep going.
Mine's hogging it. Hang on a second.
Dan Murphy.
Sorry, I'm at Dan Murphy's.
Move past
I'm just writing down some...
What's on special?
I don't know, but that's a whole page.
Dave, you said you read the paper.
Yeah, gone.
Have we got a whole page?
You read the whole paper. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
Well, I'm going. Hang on. I'm in the international section. It's got to be here.
Classified.
Finance.
Well, now I'm in entertainment. There's nothing in entertainment.
Keep going.
I would have thought entertainment.
Quickly. Come on, quick. We've got the news. Hurry up. Keep going. Pass the death notices.
What?
I'm at the death notices.
Yeah.
Well,
but
it's not past
there.
Well, it can't be past the death notices.
Come on.
Well, could it possibly I'm at crosswords now. This is getting getting silly.
No, you'll like it when you see it.
Is there an ad in it?
It is. Keep going.
Network support. I'd like to thank the network, by the way, for placing this ad wherever it is.
Hurry up.
And I can't.
It's like, where's Wally?
Shane, I've got my wrist. I've got a cramp in my wrist from turning bits of paper.
Hurry up. Okay. We've got to go to the news.
Okay.
Quick.
Well, we're right in the back of sport. That weather? Mm. Weather?
No.
Horse racing?
TV guys.
There it is.
What is that? Page 70.
Okay.
That's in the sport, although...
No, because I know you're interested in tennis, yeah, so it's in the tennis section.
But if you're coming from the back page, it's still about 8 pages in.
Anyway, where there you go.
Was that
if you want to see it,
that
that's in...
Melbourne, was it?
That is one of the Melbourne papers. The...
They love us here.
Nothing. I was looking for it in a different spot, I must admit. I thought maybe a little...
A full pager or something at least.
Well, no, it's a good size. It's a good size ad.
Crack a quarter of page 70. You're nothing in this town. Okay. Nothing.
Right. All right, stand by. We're going to go and talk to Matthias Cormann.
Wow.
And Lawrence Mooney's coming up as well and lots more. That's
Kennedy
it. Yep. You'll cut that out.
Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy. Two comedy greats and even better mates. This is Kennedy Malloy. Yourself in, people. Here comes the big second hour of Kennedy Malloy.
Wow. It's hump day, Mickey. It feels like hump day.
And we're having a bit of fun in here, which means Lawrence Mooney is in the house. We will get to him shortly.
We are talking wedding snubs, wedding invitation snubs to be precise, and it's off the back of Shane Jacobson and his agent, who had a Barney, because she didn't get to the wedding.
Didn't get an invite. Didn't cop an invite. I'm sure this has happened to you or someone you know.
There's etiquette involved. There's not etiquette involved.
Wow.
Think of your stories because we want to hear them.
I'd love to be not invited to a wedding.
No. I would have thought
in
all guys would be
my own.
Overjoyed. There you go.
Hey, so we're going to take your calls.
Yes,
we'll take your tweets. There's so much more. But let's start with our very special guest. Special, yes, but he's not the... top of the tree, is he, when you think about it?
That's a little unfair.
I'm the Minister for Finance.
it's Matthias Cormann, everyone.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon. Nice. You know, I've been following the Shane Jacobson wedding saga, yes. And I believe that his manager asked for a plus one.
That's correct.
And
yes.
Then his Shane's fiancée asked for the names, or the name of the plus one, and she gave two names, and they were already being invited to the wedding with their wives. That is the true story.
Well, see, I didn't think, Matthias, that you would have such.
I love showbiz gossip. I love it. I love it.
How would you know? Who's
NW your Magazine, Who?
Take Five.
New Idea, Take Five. I love doing the crosswords.
Maybe
they get the models for the front cover of Take Five.
Who knows?
Who knows? They look so girl next door, don't they?
It's aspirational.
We should have a centerfold in Take Five.
Have you ever been papped?
Five, literally.
You've been papped?
I've never been papped or papped. Schmeared. That's a little joke.
He's working blue, Matthias.
He's doing straight.
Well, I feel a little bit fruity when I come in here at Triple
M. Well, so you should, because that's the way we roll. Now, where's the PM? Why can't we get an audience for the PM these
days? Well, I have said before when
you
asked
me. Can you slow
down
a little? Because I'm just trying. I know. Sure. It's just your accent I love.
Okay.
I love hearing you talk.
Well, I have. Sometimes I speak quickly and sometimes I speak slowly. And what I'm saying is, I'm reiterating what I've said before.
That's really hard to do.
You're not getting the Prime Minister. It's not easy.
It's a lot of,
but what I'm trying to say to you is the Moon Man can't impersonate Scott Morrison. That's why I'm here.
That's why we love it.
Let's look at what Scott has done this week.
He, well, what has he
thrown
done?
A football, why? Kicked a football, caught a football. He appeared in the Parliament, shaking the hand of the little girly man, Billy Shorten, who I call the Vibbly Wobbly Man. With the little boobies and the weird head. Don't you feel like you're just, you know, he's got a big collar all the time. Can't find a shirt to fit him. And sometimes I want to slip my hand inside that shirt and just feel the little boobies on him. I'm kidding, of course.
Okay.
But because I'm in the Senate, he's in the House of Representatives. Now, but also, Scott is introducing maybe a bill to protect religious freedoms.
Right, yeah, and what does that mean?
Well, that means basically that the children will be able to do a nativity play at Christmas time. That's what it's all about.
Very important.
Christmas and Easter is protected forever. So, you know, the baby Jesus, and you've got Mary and Joseph and all the reindeers and all the other animals.
The wise men.
The wise men. Like at the end of Love, actually, where they have the Christmas play. Very tear-jerky. I love movies too.
Matthias, we love getting to know you.
Yeah.
And we're just slowly doing that.
Getting to know you. Getting to know all
about
you.
Tell us a little bit more
about
the real, I mean, what's the real Matthias?
Well, I'm married.
Ever been in a group wank? Have you ever, like, which,
my apologies, sir.
Not at all, because of course, we have. That's part of the Liberal Party initiation process. Very, very hard to maintain focus when Christopher Pyne is giggling so much. Just, and you know, he's a large man too, Christopher. He loves the submarines. I'm sorry, I got something caught in my throat there. But what else can I tell you about me? I'm wild and crazy guy sometimes.
Yes, I can see that. And you've got...
I go off-piste. When they get fish and chips, I put mayonnaise on my chippies. I say, to hell with the cholesterol. I just want more mayonnaise. And I go to the gymnasium too at Parliament House. My favourite exercise is the burpee. I get down and do the burpees.
What's
maybe
your wife's
20.
Name?
My wife's name's Haley. Beautiful Haley.
Is she Australian?
Yes, I met her in the 80s, cutting up the rug at a nightclub. I can move, I tell you. And she is Australian, and so are my daughters. And,
what do you listen to? What kind of music do you like?
Well, I like all kinds of music. I like film soundtracks.
Yeah. Is it in particular?
Well, Back to the Future is my favorite film of all time. Right. The Back to the Future series, Michael J. Fox's Marty McFly. And he goes back to the future, and his mum tries to crack onto him, which is weird. But
do you play any musical instruments?
I play the flute.
Do you?
Of course I do.
I see you might be violin. You just got a little bit of Rieu in you.
Yes, I have got. I love André Rieu.
I would have thought so.
Oh, well, yes, and his Crystal Castle. I actually discovered André Rieu once when queuing at the post office because his records aren't available anywhere else.
Well, speaking of the post office, did you know that Jane collects stamps? She's a philatelist.
Really? Mm-hmm. A philatelist. What an interesting word that is, isn't it? When did you become involved in philately?
When I was a very young girl. Mm. Yes, like very young.
Yeah, no, Tony Abbott's mad for stamps. He's not a philatelist. He just likes licking the back of the king's head. He's a royalist.
All right, yeah, you. Okay.
Kennedy Malloy.
This is Jane Kennedy and Mick Malloy.
Lawrence Mooney in studio with us right now.
It's very nice to be here. It's good to brush past my tires.
I'm going to have to pull you up.
Very similar heads.
Mate, I've got a... This is a...
No.
Email from Fiona Curran. It says, hi, all, we have had an increasing number of pets being brought to work of late. Mm. We're going to have to ask everyone to refrain from bringing pets to the office moving forward.
No, dog can
hear
you.
We have numerous staff members. I think it's one.
One.
That have severe allergies, and we obviously have a duty of care to provide them with a pet-free work environment. If you have any questions,
what have I done?
Well, you brought your dog in.
I brought my dog in.
And you got your dog here. He's a little cutie, Woody.
So beautiful.
He's living with cancer. He's had two rounds of chemo.
He's had two rounds of chemo.
And if somebody has got allergies in the office, they're about to break out in hives because he's dropping fur like there's no tomorrow.
But if someone had an allergy in this office, I come in covered in fur every day.
On a name. Names. I want to name names. I want to see. I want to see them lined up in like a police lineup.
No, it's just a dog hater out there has claimed allergies.
But your dog's got cancer.
But
I've got to
say,
your time together is limited. And
well, you know,
what's the prognosis? Is your doggy okay? Or am I going to start crying in a minute?
No, he's got a very aggressive form of cancer called hemangiosarcoma, and it's a blood-borne cancer.
Oh, Lawrence.
But the thing, the upside of it is that it's a rapid-growing tumor on organs and it doesn't cause him much pain, so they'll rupture. He'll bleed internally, get listless, and then we'll know it's time to go.
I was enjoying Matthias Cormann more.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
I can see that look. I can see the look in Dave's eyes. He's about to play sad music. My God.
You know what?
He doesn't know. As you can see, wagging tail, happy dog.
Yes.
He doesn't know. But
Can we take a Deadpool out and see how long it lasts?
The word cancer around him so much that he now it's one of the words in his vocabulary.
Not funny.
Six weeks.
I'm going to say six weeks.
None of us knows who's next, okay?
How many do you
He's see? Got a prognosis. The number 74 bus might have my name on it. So I could have an aneurysm and die on the stairs.
That's a little trooper. I say 6 weeks. How long do you say?
I hope I go before him. Take me, God.
Stop it.
At least put a bucket on his head. Oh, come on.
That is so sweet because the world is divided into two types of people, dog people and not dog people, and I can absolutely emboss and stamp
look.
Craig Lowndes got down on his knees in front of my dog and
he did. Oh,
He's in the camp.
He's in the camp.
The tissues, Dave.
Hey, yeah, by the way, while we're talking about cars, I've bought myself a ute, okay?
Four-wheel drive,
big black shiny toy.
What are you up to?
Now, the guy that
sounds like you're out and going to murder backpackers or something. What are you
going to
do?
No, the salesman said, so what are you? Are you a snow guy? Are you a mud guy? Or are you a sand guy? I said, I've got a friend with a gravel driveway. That's the extent of it. Yeah, it's all right. Yeah, so what are we putting in the back? Are we going to put a motorbike in the back? I said, maybe a case of wine. He goes, you are the demographic buying this. That's very impressive.
What colour is it?
It's black. It's black on black.
And you know what? You've got it just in time to put your dog in the back and go for a few laps. That's Australian rights of passage.
Anyway,
let's move on to...
I roll up today. I park outside work. Your producer sees my car and he just goes, ho, driving your penis. Driving your penis around. It's like, what? How do you make the link between that? And he goes, whoa, big black penis. And I said, no, whoa. Hold on. I've got two cars. Okay. I've also got a small yellow car. So which one?
I'd like to point out, at this stage, Dave drives a Getz.
I do as well. And does the same rule apply to women if you've got a massive car or a tiny car? Or, you know,
no.
What
does do, not know.
What are you driving, Dave? Hatchback. Convertible.
I'm not going to play this game. Otherwise, I'll incriminate myself.
I've got a couple of jokes, but I'm not going to unload them. Hey, what else have you been up to? We don't want to get.
Last week, we talked about weird therapies that you've been through,
and
cults. Reared its word cults. Now, I've always been fascinated with cults, okay? Because Svengali's that can get, just a bunch of women living on a farm together as his concubines. It's like, I find it very difficult to bed one woman. And
I'm sensing admiration in your voice when you're talking about these.
I'll tell you what.
These vile individuals. Hey, okay.
Lawrence, hold that thought. Do you mind hanging around for one more?
No, I want to talk
cults. We'll get into this and we'll get people to ring up. Have you been in a cult? Would you like to join a cult?
Are you in one now?
Or are you a cult leader?
I'd be a cult leader for sure.
I like the fishing exercises that cults. I've got a fishing exercise that a cult does that is just genius.
Brilliant. I'll tell you next.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
You've got an ad in the paper today, have you?
Yeah.
Did you see it?
Have you read the paper? in Melbourne, there's a pellet.
I saw your beautiful big ad and it's in the scrapbook.
Already?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're my dad.
I've got to say, I am loving your film poster and album cover parodies. They are genius.
Well, if you want to see them, go to page 70 of today's paper, just behind death notices.
Well, it's just an article about Serena Williams.
Well, that's right.
What's happened with Serena?
I'm a bit bored with the whole thing myself. And I have to say, when I looked at the cartoon, it never occurred to me when I saw it. I think America has a different standard or something.
I think there's more sensitivity in America, for a start.
But also, I know, like, you know, blackface over there, you know, is just off the limits.
But we don't do blackface here now either.
But that's because...
The Jackson Jive certainly were the last act on television to have blackface.
Correct.
That'll never happen again on Australian television.
No. But I get a bit offended sometimes when Americans take the high...
Moral ground,
and go, that's Australia for you. They are pretty casual when it comes to racism. I go, yeah, but when it comes to hardcore racism, like, I don't know, shooting a black guy and not putting anyone in jail for it, they're pretty good at it themselves at the top end, I think, the Americans. So I hate being judged by that. I know Mark Knight, and I don't enjoy all his cartoons because some of them lean to the right because his paper does, but I've met him and known him, and he, to me, there's not a racist bone in his body, as far as I'm concerned. He's
I
a
agree
very
with
nice
you
man.
On that, and I don't believe that he is racist, but he's actually had to take now his Twitter account off because he was getting death threats.
Oh, right. But that's not unusual. Now, how many times have you seen a pile on Twitter when all of a sudden something...
Well, it's completely out of hand and it's gone unhinged because he was making a satirical point. Now, I only suggest I don't like the image myself.
Sure.
because I think of the way he's drawn her.
Yeah, but he's, you know, he's accentuated features, and that's what cartoonists do. They grotesque.
And Mick, you have recently been done by Mark Knight.
And I wish there had been an outrage the way I was depicted with about six chins.
Yeah.
And I had worry lines above my head. Mm. I wasn't happy about it at all. And now I think about
so
it.
So it was a portrait, not a cartoon.
I'm going to get J.K. Rowling to write him a dirty.
Well, she might do that.
Anyway, I think we're done with it. I'm actually quite bored with it, to tell you the truth.
Hey, we were talking about cults. And we actually have someone on the line who I think has some interesting perspective. I'm not sure if it was a complete cult he's in, but I don't know. Tim, would you like to elaborate on what your world has been?
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah, good, Tim.
Well, I'm happily married and we have two kids.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife and I have a girlfriend.
Yep.
And she has two kids. And we all live together.
And is it a self-styled cult, or do you belong to some kind of organisation, or is that just, you know, your lifestyle?
We're certainly considering how we could make ourselves some sort of religion for tax purposes, of course, but...
hang on.
The religion
have you got any nutty rules, though, Tim? You've got to have... Do all the men have to chop their testicles off? Are you waiting for a comet?
I don't think having one girlfriend extra constitute a cult, does it?
Well, it's just business as usual.
Just sounds like a bloke boasting.
No, this is a bit of a humble brag, to be honest.
This is the worst cult ever. I'm not joining yours. Good on you, Tim. I told you this.
Anyway, get some photos of your cult up on Insta.
Hang on.
My favourite was the Orm sect. And Shoko Asahara, who was the head of the Orm sect, they actually topped him a few weeks ago. Remember he released sarin gas into the subway system of Japan many years ago. But to me, he was a proper cult leader because he had some real good stuff going on in there. Like
the big beard.
You had to drink his dirty bathwater. Like followers.
He was your larger fellow, wasn't he?
Flipping away in a bath and then going, all right.
Come in, get your ladle.
Here's the ladle. Knock yourself out. And they did.
Oh, yeah.
That's what being a cult leader is all about.
Getting people to do things they wouldn't ordinarily
do. All the women
do.
Have to sleep with me. All the men have to chop their testicles off and get a purple blankie.
Yeah, that's right.
Both of you, I know there's a sense of admiration about some of these. I'm just not sure the women come out all that good out of cults.
No,
not
they
from
don't.
What I've heard.
No, I don't think it's great. I think it's very
it's a cult we're talking about. Yeah, same thing.
You could probably get yourself higher up the ladder in a cult.
The interesting thing for
you
me
would be
is
a maniacal cult leader. You would be totally untrustworthy.
Take him out, Dave. Enough of him. What interests me is the manipulation, okay, to get somebody in, to convince them that this is a good idea for them. Now, there's a cult in Australia called 12 Tribes, and the government have tried to shut them down in different ways. There's been a lot of articles and stories on them. Their fishing activity is they go to, you know, a Comfest or a music festival, set up a little card table, have two quite attractive cult members sitting there.
Yes.
People come by thinking, oh, what's this? And their fishing exercise is, you look like you need a place to call home. Now, that phrase in and of itself makes you immediately
think, if you're disenfranchised and you're feeling a bit down, that is honing in on your vulnerabilities,
and
bang.
You go, yeah, I do. It's like, oh, well, why don't you come back with us? And all of a sudden you are labouring for free and living in a cult. And it is very hard
Sounds
to get out.
Sounds pretty cool the way you're saying.
Yeah. By the way, if anyone from 12 Tribes is listening, I do need a place to call home.
All right, one day, let's sit down, draw up the rules, start a cult. It's going to be a load of fun.
Not cutting me Jets crackers off, though.
Right. Thanks, Loz.
An evening with Malcolm Turnbull, by the way, is touring around Australia from September, so for tickets and info.
Does Matthias Korn turn up at that?
Well, Matthias will be making an appearance, but it's full of hot invective from the PM as he waves
goodbye.
Oh, he's
cut up rough.
Yeah,
he's cut up rough.
A-list.com.au if you want tickets.
Great.
This is Kennedy Malloy. Your new way to drive home.
All right, Jane, you've got some wedding news.
I've got wedding news, and it's actually off the back of the fact that Shane Jacobson, who we all know and love,
today.
And he's going through a court case at the moment. His agent, a former agent, they've had a bit of a barney over
a falling out,
and unfortunately, it's unearthed a lot of information about contracts and things like that.
A bit unfortunate.
It is a bit
unfortunate.
What
was the cause for the falling out?
It was because Shane's partner or wife at the time said when the agent asked if she could come to the barbecue and bring a friend,
a plus one,
his wife-to-be, said, it's not a barbecue.
Right.
Meaning it's not just willing, it's not just a casual get-together. It was, in fact, a private, small, intimate wedding where literally really just very close friends of the bride and groom were being asked
so
to
So once
go.
Again, a wedding has caused a major schism and more importantly, wedding invites. Now, I'm going to 133353, come on. Get on board. Yeah. I know relationships. Mm. I have mates who just still don't talk after 20 years because
of wedding.
Because one mate's wife to be took charge of the wedding list, and two of my friends didn't get invited.
Wow.
For no apparent reason, and that's none of my business. But personally, I wished it was me who hadn't been invited.
See, I'm shocked
to a
that
wedding,
so it? Many guys are pissed, peeved off.
Have you had an incident?
I have many, many years ago. I was told, look, even though you've been going out with this bloke for a very long time, it's only engaged couples and married couples who are on the list. So,
wasn't that the royal? What's her name's?
Yes,
engagement
it was.
Party was. If there's not a ring on it,
if there's not a ring on it,
hit the road, toots.
You're not allowed to. Which?
So what? So you had a boyfriend of 2 years.
Oh, no, longer.
Oh, longer than that.
So he couldn't come.
He's the one that got away. He's yet to settle for.
Hey,
a philatelist.
Listen, be quiet. Listen, Whitney, have you had a similar experience?
Yeah, something similar to you. I had been with, it was now my ex, so kind of lucky he didn't come in yet. But
it's a long line of those.
And how long have you been going
I've been
out for
over 2 years. Yeah, I think I was pretty sure it was just over 2 years. And so he was part of my friendship group, but one of my best friends got married and didn't get an invite to the wedding. So I had to go alone.
But see again.
Did you hook up?
No, I didn't. But
you know what you should have done?
It's an awkward
conversation.
You should
have hit on the groom. That'll teach it.
It was an awkward conversation, though.
But what were the grounds for him not being invited?
They just needed to cut numbers.
Oh. I know, but then I just go, look, if you're going out,
you both
just.
Don't go.
Yeah.
And it can't be that many more extra. I mean, you probably think, look, let's be logic. If you've just met someone on Tinder the week before.
Jane, we don't all live in giant houses in the leafy suburbs of Sydney and Melbourne like you do. Some of us.
Thank you, Mick.
just try.
You idiot.
Try to get by.
You idiot.
Do you think you'll ever get married, Whitney?
Not at this rate.
133353. I'm kidding.
Dave, what about you? Where did you get married?
We had a really small wedding. So my wife's interstate and I was in another state as well. So we've come together working in radio stations. So we had a small intimate family wedding. Then we had parties in different states as separate to the wedding. So it was like parties for there, and our wedding was small.
It'd be good to go to the Bucks and then not have to go to the wedding.
Look, I still think you've got that right. I think weddings should just be women only, and I've always thought this for a very long time.
You and I are finally in tacit agreement.
Yes.
Hey, Scotty's on the line. Scotty, you've been involved in an incident?
Yeah, hey, guys. How are you?
Good. What happened?
Well, it's a bit of a turning around from what you were talking about, but I actually snubbed a wedding invitation.
Did you? You sent it back saying, no, thank you.
Wow. And why was that?
Oh, I used to live with his fiancée, and she was a complete bitch. And I
All right, Scotty,
that's so funny.
But anyway,
was that your reason for not attending?
Mate, they were my words verbatim. But it turned out well in the end because about 4 years later, he rang me out of the blue and said, "Look, you were right. We've just got divorced."
Oh my god. Scotty, good instinct
stuff.
There.
Right, we're going to go go to a song.
Come back. Give us a call.
We've got callers racked up. 133353. We'll get to the bottom of this.
Your new way to drive home. Kennedy Malloy.
Talking wedding snubs. 133353. Join in.
That's right.
There's a lot of people who've had dramas with wedding invitations, as we're finding around the country, and you're all calling in and here
Let's
to Kennedy
get into
Malloy.
It.
Hello, Rob. What happened to you?
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, good, Rob. Good, mate.
What happened?
I lost a friend of 35 years because I wouldn't invite his sister to my wedding.
Because you wouldn't invite his sister? Were you friendly with his sister?
Yes, but not that friendly, Mick.
Okay. And let's be honest, that's a second-tier guest.
I agree.
A friend, a relative. And why would you break up over that?
That almost sounds a bit weird now, Rob.
I don't enjoy being in the same room as my sisters.
Well, you did last night.
Well, don't you worry about that. There's a segment coming down the
line. We need to hear more about
that.
You're
going to talk about bullying. Try two older sisters.
Yeah, I wish I was there.
Unbelievable.
Mick in a bra drawer. Stand by for that.
Okay, Dave.
I heard it.
Hello, Michael. What happened to you?
Well, me and the missus sent the invites out, and good mate of mine.
Speak up, mate. Can you put the
sorry,
phone up
the
to
phone's
your head?
Sorry, wonky.
Sorry. Yeah. Invited a mate, and by the time the wedding came around, him and his missus had split.
Yeah.
She decided to turn up anyway.
No.
Oh. What? Did they, he didn't come though?
Yeah, no.
He so were they dead. Sitting together?
They both came.
Yes.
Yep. Oh.
And they'd split up.
Oh.
See, I told you, women love a wedding, even when she's split up with someone, she'll cop anything to go to a wedding. Well, God, what's wrong with women?
Right?
I don't know. Well. Hello, Paul.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good. How'd you solve the whole wedding problem?
Well, it was quite easy, actually. My wife and I, we've been married for 40 years now.
Yep.
We had a one-year-old, and she was 7 months pregnant with the next one, and we decided to get married in the courthouse and just have a barbecue in the backyard.
So you literally got married at a barbecue. So it was a barbecue.
It was a barbecue.
She invited five friends. I invited five friends, and we decided to keep the parents out of it.
So the Shane Jacobs story is that his wife allegedly said, hey, it's a wedding, not a barbecue. And you're saying it's
it's
wedding
barbecue.
And a barbecue.
Yeah, it can be both.
Exactly, yeah.
Good one, guys.
I like that.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for all your calls.
All right, yes, we will. We'll just do that. And we're going to come back.
Yes.
And we might play the Beatles. Just a little tribute to the Beatles again. And touch base with our good mates at Toyota. Is Toyota-thon still on, mate?
It is.
Yes, it is.
Come on.
We'll tell you all about
Search
it.
That's Toyota Value. This is Kennedy Malloy.
This is Kennedy Malloy.
The Toyota-thon is
what?
On.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Every time you say Toyota-thon, I get it like excited as Paul the Beatles.
No,
in a group
bonding
session. Mate.
Really?
No, I do.
Don't say you get excited like that, but
yoink.
I do. Did
what
you
do
just
mean?
Do yoink?
I went yoink.
It must end September 30. You
no,
don't
no,
have
no.
much time.
No, it will go on.
No.
Don't tell me.
Has to end.
I
refuse to believe that the Toyota-thon ever ends. To me, life is one great Toyota-thon.
Oh, well, then you're not going to get $1,000 Toyota-thon bonus after September 30, so don't be stupid.
All right, well,
you want to get a Hilux SR5.
Bring a Hilux.
Or a RAV4.
That'd be a good wedding vehicle. We were just talking about that. Imagine tying some cans
that'd
to the
be
back
cool.
of the,
genius.
The Hilux and sending that off into the
rattle, rattle,
the distance.
Or what about you could fit a whole bunch of hens for a hens party in a
RAV4?
Yeah.
Oh, here come the hens.
Yep.
And the gents could be in the Kluger.
No, I don't think you'd put the mother-in-law in. I'll tell you what, you put them all in. How many can you get in the Kluger?
Well, it's a whole family.
Yeah,
a modern family.
Mm. Yeah, modern.
It's sophisticated and spacious.
It
you
is.
Can do that.
I love the Toyota-thon.
And you get $1,000 Toyota-thon bonus, so don't be foolish.
You're
get in before
idiot.
The end of September,
you're
guys.
A giant dick if you don't take advantage of the Toyota-thon.
Thanks, Toyota.
Good on you, Toyota. Mm. It's been an absolute pleasure dealing with you. Hey, now, listen.
Now, there was a segment before that I was going to leave the room for, but I couldn't resist.
You hung about. You were the spirit of
it. I did get the
and if you did miss it, grab the podcast too at kennedymalloy.com.
Go and have a listen. But
it was one of the funniest things I have to say in the end I've ever heard.
Pretty funny.
Well, GQ did a wide-ranging interview with ex-Beatle Paul McCartney. Sir Paul. Where he let it slide that he and the Beatles occasionally used to sit around, turn the lights off and have what can only be described as a group wank. And we're...
Okay, you know that John Lennon actually admitted one day to the boys who he was thinking of, and he said Winston Churchill, just for jokes and giggles, he said.
When they're in that position.
Yes, well,
I knew about this previously.
No, I just read the full story. I read past the initial, funnily enough.
The initial, they do this all the time. I believe they did it just to get away from Yoko. I honestly believe it was, sorry, Yoko, hands full over here. We
you
did
put
say
together
that.
Some.
We said they said it's going to be hard to listen to some of those songs the same way
again,
ever again. Come together right now. Over me, it's been a hard day's night. I should be sleeping like a lamb. All together now, all together now, all together now, all together now. Listen. No. Do you promise
not to tell? Whoa, oh dear. Closer. I
wanna hold your hand. No,
not anymore. No. I wanna hold your hand. When I hold you in my arms, and I feel my finger on your trigger. Bang, that's well said. I don't know why. On her head.
Feels appropriate.
Bye bye. Yeah, really sullied a lot of those classic songs from one of the all-time great bands.
I will never
bands.
Think
Maybe
the
that was
same
their writing sessions.
Oh.
That's what they were. That's how they come up
Twist
with those.
And shout.
All right. Who's on tomorrow?
We have Scotty Cam.
Yay.
And Nick Cody.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so it's a good show.
It's going to be top shelf all
the
way.
That's the big Thursday one. And as I mentioned, if you missed any of the show today, grab the podcast. It'll be available in about 20 minutes at kennedymalloy.com.au.
That's the end of the Kennedy Malloy catch-up. Visit your local Toyota dealer because Toyota-thon is now on. For more, search Toyota Value.